On this third Sunday after the Epiphany, on this Sunday after the inauguration of our 45th president, on this Sunday after the Women's March on Washington and the sister marches around our country and around the world, what are we thinking? Just adding this in now, after that press conference yesterday, what are we thinking? If you haven't seen that yet, you'll see what I mean. What are we hoping? What are we thinking about politics and faith? Where do politics and faith intersect for us? You've heard me preach about politics and faith before if you've been here for a while, but for those who are new to Holy Comforter, I will say once again that Jesus was political. What? Political? Religion? Politics? It's not that bad, don't worry. Jesus was political in the sense that his message and his life called into question the ways of the world that failed to respect the dignity of every person. Jesus was and acted as he did and lived as he did and marched around as he did, and the politicians, so to speak, of the day were not happy. God cares about our lives here on the ground, how we treat each other, how we are treated, how our governments function for us and our world. Faith, spirituality, religion is not reserved or restricted to this place and this time on Sunday morning. Rather, we gather here with each other and with God to ask the hard questions, to seek answers, to come together, regardless of our political preferences. We're here to support each other, to ask and to receive God's blessing for this day and for this week. I don't really know how people get through the weeks without coming to church every Sunday. I really don't. That's why we're here, to prepare, not for this to be the final thing, but to prepare for the week. Now, this church and this community, we have a long history of standing with the marginalized and acting for justice for all. And so, for many of us here, the political campaign, the election, and now the presidency of Donald Trump has been and is troubling. So what are we thinking today? What are we hoping today? Where do we see Jesus? Where do we see God? Where do we see the Spirit in all that is happening? How does our faith and the world connect? And making that connection is essential to discern God's call to us on this day and the days ahead. Today I'm thinking of that saying, "May you live in interesting times," right? A blessing and a curse. Our times are very interesting. I'm thinking of that Chinese character that means both crisis and opportunity. I am thinking of Jesus marching all over the place, proclaiming that the kingdom had come near while the people were still subject to oppressive Roman rule. In our gospel today, John the Baptist has been arrested. Jesus learns of this and moves to Galilee, to an area with more Gentiles, to an area ruled by Herod Antipas, who had arrested John. Jesus is thus moving into a politically dangerous place for him, seeming to some to fill the void left by John the Baptist. For the gospel writer Matthew, Jesus' move into an area with Gentiles shows, or Matthew's trying to show, Jesus is going to be the one for all people, and not just a small group, for all the world. Christianity is a worldwide peace movement and justice movement. Jesus came so that all people are able to walk in the way of God and recognize the reign of God. And in recognizing it, we long to be part of it. We want to follow in that way of goodness and love and hope and healing. When we see it, we're energized. A person who's a member of this church publicly posted on Facebook yesterday that for the first time she could see God in the election, in viewing the Women's March. The Women's March on Washington, for the first time she could see God in what is happening, and I know she's not alone. It is really hard to see God when times are difficult, when forces of darkness seem to be winning. This has always been the case. Again and again in the Bible, we read of God's people struggling to maintain their sense of God when oppressed. Isaiah, we heard today the prophet urging the people to hold on in a time of Assyrian occupation during the 8th century BCE. Isaiah is speaking of political realities and promising that God cares and will deliver them. They who've walked in darkness, on them light will shine, and they will see a great light. Matthew and his Gospels quoting from Isaiah because for him and for those around him who knew Jesus or had heard of Jesus, heard the witness of people, they wrote the Bible to say that they saw the one who would deliver them from their darkness, the New Testament. When they looked at Jesus, they saw hope in action. They saw love. They saw healing. For many of us, for those of you, and there's some here today who actually marched yesterday in D.C. Let's see who it was who's here today. Look at this. Look at this. Thank you for doing that, for being there for all people and representing Holy Comforter. And for those of us who followed it on TV and online, many of us saw God. We saw God in the peaceful demonstration of people who were speaking and marching for the human rights of all. Given this hope, they felt it, they knew it, because so many knew. They knew something of goodness and hope, and they knew that they wanted to stand up for those feeling vulnerable and scared, as well as for themselves who needed to be there, needed to be part of it, to feel that strength. Strength of people united. For us, we look at that and we see God, right? God bringing people together for the good. True, many were protesting against the new administration, but it was more than that. They came together for what is right, and they just knew. They became, you who were there, you became the answer, the goodness, the power, the day that you were seeking. In our gospel reading, Jesus is just beginning his march, his ministry, which would take him to many places and people. As he stated at this time, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent in the sense of make a change, turn around, go a different way, for the reign of God is breaking in. And when Jesus came to those fishermen and said, follow me, immediately they left their lives and followed. I like the way one commentator describes this experience of being called to follow Jesus. It is as if they were compelled to follow Jesus and to obey him, almost as if they had been waiting their whole lives to hear his voice, to be issued this call, so that when it came, they dropped what they were doing. Perhaps they were simply responding to what had already been imprinted on their souls from birth, the knowledge of the voice of God, so that when they heard the voice, all they could do was obey. We have all been created in the image of God, which means we know love when we encounter it. Fear is powerful, but love has more power. When we look up from our lives to see what's going on around us, if we look long enough, we will see God. Maybe not right away. There's a lot that is sad and wrong in the world, but there is much that is straining toward the light. The song, "We Are Marching in the Light of God," is a protest song from South Africa, sung by those who were protesting against apartheid. As one website advises, it can still be sung as a call for freedom, in solidarity with those who are oppressed, or simply as a commitment to living in the light, love, and power of God. Sometimes we sing this song here, and we will sing a verse of it today following the sermon. It's number 787 in the green book, Wonder, Love, and Praise. But the words are just repeated, so you may not actually need it. We can be aware, whether we're singing the song or not, that we are marching in the light of God all the time when we are seeking freedom and justice and simply loving the people in our lives and seeking to share that love with all. God loved everybody. God loves Donald Trump. God loves all this that's going on and hopes, and he hopes, she hopes, God hopes for us all. When I saw the march on Washington, I saw people marching in the light of God, the light shining forth from them. Of course, those who were marching were of every faith, and some would claim no faith. But for me as a Christian, as I watched, I saw the body of Christ, especially those views from above. When tens of thousands were in the picture, I saw the body of Christ given for the world. I listened to a lot of people speaking about this as I followed it during the day. One person noted that for him, these people embodied the world they're calling for. That sounds a lot like Jesus. There are so many wonderful words and thoughts. One woman said, "They thought they could bury us, but they didn't know that we were seeds." That also sounds a lot like Jesus, seeds of a new beginning. One person spoke of setting the table where people can sit down together, people with different ideas come and learn from each other. While many feel that some could have set the table better for us, at the end of the day, we can set the table for others. We can be the change we want to see, another phrase said a lot yesterday. And we often say we can be the answer to our prayers, and God is counting on us. On that table we set, we can put compassion and love and hope, healing, understanding, forgiveness, and our own repentance. God has already set the table for us and shown us the way, given it all for us to show us the way. Today, rather than saying the creed, we will reaffirm our baptismal covenant. It seems like a good time to do that. This covenant with God helps us know what it takes to set the table, and that God will help us, march with us always. When we see God, we want to follow. We have the energy. We have the determination. When we see the reign of God come near, when we see God, we want to march in the light of God. And through God's grace, we know that we can. Amen.
Amen.
Stand up if you'd like.